You ever wonder what hell is like? Maybe kind of freak you out. There's a lot of different viewpoints of hell and a lot of different theories, especially from, what is it, the book Dante's Inferno from a while back.
Yeah, it was a poetic work, I think. It was pretty scary.
But some of the correct theology, I would say, of hell actually comes from the text today in Luke chapter 16.
Yeah.
You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Junior.
And I'm Scott, and I'll go ahead and get started reading in verse 1. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money, so the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order, because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed him money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much money do you owe him?" And the man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe my employer?" And he asked the next man, "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd, and it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world without them than around them than children of the light. The reason that this was a wise thing was because it was too much that they owe that they never would have paid up, and they would have just stayed in debt. But since he offered them a deal, they were willing to take it. Verse 9, here's a lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends, and then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones, but if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Man, that's such an important principle. We try to teach that to our staff all the time, that it's the little things that matter, and when you do really well at those little things, then you get recognized that you can take on more responsibility. But we never give more responsibility to the people that aren't doing well with the things that they've already been given. So if you are, he says in verse 11, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with even the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. Then he said to them, "You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guides, but now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone is eager to get in. But that doesn't mean that the law has lost its force. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the smallest point of God's law to be overturned. For example, a man who divorces his wife and marries someone who commits adultery, and anyone who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery." So he's backing up the law here, that God's law, God's moral law,
which we spent much of last month in, that law.
Yeah, we did.
Jesus studied and is holding to.
You know, I think this is out of context here, but this is really cool. Some of our listeners also read Our Daily Bread, and maybe you caught this. It was last week or the week before, there was a story of a physician who was an atheist, and he had a friend that just really convinced him, just give the Bible a try. He said, "Okay, I'll read the Bible through one time." And as he's reading through Leviticus, remember reading about all those skin rashes that was driving us crazy?
Yeah.
He was amazed because he said in that day they would not have had an understanding of how those rashes would affect others and how everything needed to be cleaned in the way they were. They didn't have that technology. And he moved from being an atheist to a theist.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that this is true. There's no way that they could have known that apart from God being involved. And where he began and he continued on reading through the Bible and eventually became a Christian.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's Leviticus. Yep. Yeah, right. All right, anyway, verse 19, why don't you pick it up?
Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple," which is a sign of, like wearing the finest, fine linen, "who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores." It's quite graphic, if you ask me.
Yeah. Finally, I guess that was basically the the medicinal strength of the dog's saliva,
so.
Which they claim is cleaner than just about anything.
Really?
Yeah. I know.
Never heard that. I always thought that the opposite.
No, dog's mouth, dog's saliva is actually very clean. Here, people are going to look this up now, so I'll find out if what I said is true.
Okay, well, if you're going to text this, text my dad, not me this time.
Text Junior. That's the emails. We get all these emails, which is great. We love it when people send us emails. We really do.
Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham in the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to the place of the dead. There in the torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am anguished in these flames." But Abraham, that's just awful to even picture that. But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here and no one can cross to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father," and this is where we get the idea of like eternal hell, because there's that idea of like, oh, maybe hell's just for a little while and then people will come into heaven. But the theology of that is off because of what we're seeing here. Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." But Abraham said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.
Yeah. That's a very serious thing, and I know some people struggle with this. I don't want to believe in hell. I don't want to believe in it either. I mean, I love believing in heaven. I want to believe in heaven. Believing in hell, though, I'd rather not. But what we have to get back to is, well, what is true? Jesus taught that hell was a very real place, and people who reject him and are far from God, that's the natural outcome, the natural result, that all goodness flows from God, is then they are rejecting any of that goodness. The end result is that they're separated from God for eternity without ever being able to fulfill their purpose. Yeah. And this is how Jesus describes it. So it's a horrible place, but it's real. Now, the reality of that place, does that motivate us then to warn people and to tell people the truth that they need Jesus?
That's right.
All right, we're over in Psalms, and then let's get over to Psalm 135. And here, the psalmist actually makes fun of just the way people are worshiping these false idols. Their idols are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands. They cannot talk, though they have mouths, or see, though they have eyes. They cannot hear with their ears or smell with their noses. And those who make them are just like them, as are all those who trust in them. How ridiculous it is, he's pointing out. Instead, we have a living, true God who stands beside us, offers us help. He loves us, he cares about us, he forgives us, and he has provided a way for us to be in a relationship with him through Jesus. And that's a great thing.
That's right. Hell is not our only option.
Yeah.
All right. Well, 2,068 years ago today, can you guess what happened?
2,068. No,
Julius Caesar was assassinated.
Oh boy!
And so it's called like Brutus. Yeah, it's called like Brutus Day. You know, when he's all stabbed in the back by the Senate. So it's like a day where he'd be like,
that place is still. You can still visit that place.
So what people say is like, here's how you stay away from backstabbers day. Here's my thing. Why don't you just self reflect today and see, am I stabbing anybody in the back?
Yeah.
Am I guilty of that at all? Because the truth is, we've all been guilty of it. Yeah. We're all susceptible to be guilty of it. So is there that friend or that coworker that maybe is just like, you haven't really been all that loyal to or championing, or you just haven't been all that supportive to.
Mm.
And let's not be guilty of that.
Yeah, that's a great reminder.
All right. Make it a good day. And in fact,
Friday.
We're leaving for Turkey today.
Today we're heading to Turkey.
You and I and Jack are leaving for Turkey. And so actually what we're going to try to do, we're hoping to do is maybe not next week, but the next week we might air in a couple weeks here. Hopefully we'll air some episodes from Turkey.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that works. That might be a little bit difficult, but we're gonna give it a shot.
We'd like to record, do it from the bus, which would be a lot of fun.
It might get a little noisy, but I think it'll be kind of fun.
Yeah. So have a good weekend. Make sure you're in your Bibles this weekend and be in church on Sunday. God bless. Mm-hmm.